In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Maybe you lived it. Maybe you remember it. Or maybe you heard about it. There was a time, a generation or two ago, in the life of many churches, when women were expected to wear hats and gloves and dresses, and females of all ages complied. As a little girl, I especially recall my bright yellow, wide-brim straw hat with a wide black ribbon that went down my back. I just loved wearing that. Made me think I was Eloise at the plaza. And if you don't know who Eloise, see me after. Today, obviously, things have evolved, so that dress code is no longer current. But I remember in the midst of that transition, there was a good bit of nasty chit-chat whispered among prudish women folk, aimed at those uppity women who began to shun the old rules. People do not like change. Fast forward to today. Rarely do we ever wear gloves and hats, and slacks are common. These changes in appearance are now accepted, along with an understanding that they do not indicate the essence of the church has changed. The core values remain from generations ago. It is not the gloves or hats that make us faithful Christians. Now, I use this simple and somewhat playful illustration to explain the meaning of the gospel from Mark. We hear the Pharisees arguing with Jesus about the sanctity of keeping the Sabbath holy, which to them meant doing nothing. These Pharisees were abiding strictly by the Ten Commandments, which had been handed down to them from their ancestor Moses, the third one being, remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. The Jews took this very literally and were offended that Jesus was, in their mind, breaking the commandment. How dare he and his disciples pluck grain from the fields? How dare Jesus heal the man with the withered hand? This outsider was not playing by the rules. Jesus' response was, the Sabbath was made for humankind, and not humankind for the Sabbath. The Sabbath was made for humankind, and not humankind for the Sabbath. Jesus was teaching that the letter of the law was eclipsed by the spirit of the law. Wayne Muller, in his book called Sabbath, wrote, Jesus did not abolish the Sabbath, he refocused it. He affirmed our status as free people who are no longer bound by those that keep us from rest, whether by working for material possessions or an overly energetic need to please God. When we, you and I, think of Sabbath historically, the common perception was that it was celebrated on Sunday. Christians were encouraged to take the day off, to engage in leisure activities with the family after having attended church. Those that remember the hats and gloves and dresses also remember blue laws that restricted businesses from operating. Obviously, merchandising has been totally revamped by the internet now, along with demands from the people for unlimited access to goods and services. Sundays as traditional Sabbath time have now gone the way of the hats and gloves. So where does that leave us in 2018? Do we just ignore the third commandment, randomly discarding it as an inconvenience in our busy lives? I think not. A commandment is a commandment. But the question for us is, how might we keep the concept of Sabbath relevant in our lives? To have Sabbath time is particularly crucial in our lives today, more than ever before. I want to suggest that there is an intersection between historical perspectives and contemporary culture that is bound together by a theological thread. I believe we can implement a Sabbath perspective, which is rooted in our religious teachings and yet adapted to today's world. Let's go back to the words of Jesus in Mark's gospel. The Sabbath was made for humankind, and not humankind for the Sabbath. I interpret that as such a strong invitation for each of us to identify our own individual ways to respond to keeping a Sabbath. It was made for us to maintain a sense of integrity embedded in that question. We need to explore, what is Sabbath? The earliest Jewish perspective was that after 6 days of creation, God wondered, what did the universe lack? The rabbis used the word menuah to answer that question. One word which expansively includes happiness and stillness, peace and harmony. The essence of a good life is menuah, and menuah is the essence of Sabbath. I find conceptually that is such an appropriate description of what potentially awaits us in keeping Sabbath. Happiness and stillness, peace and harmony. As we live into Sabbath keeping, I suggest that we transition from thinking about a day or a week set apart, but rather realistically in 2018, it is a period of time that you define, whatever your schedule allows, for you to claim and name Sabbath time. A period in which you surrender earthly concerns and literally find rest in God's presence. It is a mindful practice, a healthy habit that can be developed over time. You don't have to wait. Claim some Sabbath time this afternoon. I intend to. Basically, it is a spiritual attitude, an orientation, a perspective that surrenders your soul to God. Meister Eckhart, the well-known German theologian, wrote the following called A Sabbath Poem. Apprehend God in all things, for God is in all things. Every single creature is full of God and is a book about God. Every single creature is a word of God, so full of God is every creature. Apprehend God in all things. I think that's a lovely way to describe true Sabbath, taking the opportunity in your schedule to apprehend God in all things. We are entering the first week of summer, for some, a change of pace. What better time to develop Sabbath times, a time to lie fallow, to indulge in the sacrament of rest. And remember, we have been commanded to do that. You know, I rarely pass over the opportunity to include a Jan Richardson poem when appropriate, and today is no exception. It is called Blessing the Sabbath. She wrote, "Even in the desert, even in the wilderness, Sabbath comes. May you receive it, light the candles, and say the prayers. Welcome, Sabbath. Welcome, rest. Enter in my soul and be my guest." Amen.